black Emerald Ridge cross country shirt, and it had a hole right here and here and here. And I had to wear that, and I had my black warm-ups. And to top it all off, I believed that if I ate 10 Foster Farms chicken nuggets every race day for lunch, I would be awesome that day. And guess what? I was awesome that day, okay? So it works. Eat your chicken nuggets if you're an athlete, all right? Moral of the day. Cool. Those are some dumb things that I believe. And today we're going to be closing up this series, this really cool series. I love that picture. And today we're going to be talking about a really tough one, a really big one in our lives. And it comes from this book. It's called 10 Dumb Things That Smart Christians Believe. And if you're a reader, then I highly recommend this book. This guy, Larry Osborne, boom, mind blown. Every single time I read some of his stuff. So if you're looking for a book, this is a good book. Today, we're going to tackle a tough one. And it's the dumb idea that Christians should not judge. And it's a big one. I know it's a big one for you guys because you're in high school. And if you walk out into the world and you ask, I would say 90% of the people in the world, you say, hey, do you think a Christian can judge? It doesn't matter if they're atheist, if they're Mormon, if they're Jewish, whatever they are. It doesn't matter. If you ask them that, then I guarantee you they're probably going to say no. They're not allowed to. And they're going to quote this verse in the Bible. It's from Matthew chapter 7. And they're just going to say, nope, that's wrong. That's wrong. You can't do that. And I just think it's kind of funny that people, they don't believe in the Bible, but they're going to quote it and say, like, you can't do this. And you're like, wait, you don't even believe that. How can you say that to me? And so it's one that we've dealt with, that I as a Christian have dealt with growing up, going to high school. There's a lot of judgment that goes on in junior high too. And so today I want to talk about, like, should Christians be able to judge at all, or should they not be able to judge it? And so I want to read you guys a verse. It's from the book. It's actually the verse I was talking about, Matthew 7. We're going to go 1 through 6. And it says, do not judge others, and you will not be judged. So, oops, my talk's over. See you guys later. Like, done. Just kidding. Psych. We're not done. Of course, you know that. Do not judge others, and you will not be judged. For you will be treated as you treat others. The standard you use in judging is the standard by which you will be judged. And why worry about a speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own? How can you think of saying to your friend, let me help you get rid of that speck in your eye when you can't see past the log in your own eye? Hypocrite. First, get rid of the log in your own eye. Then you will see well enough to deal with a speck in your friend's eye. Don't waste what is holy on people who are unholy. Don't throw your pearls to pigs. They will trample the pearls, then turn and attack you. So when you read this, and you read the first line of this, when you're asking yourself, like, should Christians judge? Okay, I'm going to open up Matthew 7 and take a look at it for a second. And you open up and it says, do not judge. And you're like, all right, done. I can't judge. But the thing about it is it. Sometimes we have to read further than what it actually says right there, and we have to take it in the correct context. And so a lot of people take this verse out of context. But the thing I want us to understand today is that there are moments and there are times in our lives where God gives us the ability to make judgments. And he does that because he wants us to help other people come in a closer relationship with him, and he wants us to love them. And he allows us to do those judgments. So I want to ask you guys a question here. Question. Think about this question really hard. If I'm not allowed to judge, how am I supposed to tell what's wrong from right? I think that's your first fill-in on there. If I am not allowed to make judgments, how do I tell what's wrong from what's right? So I live with little baby Jad. He's been gone. I miss him. Sorry, Gary. Gary's probably going to start crying because Jad's been in Germany for 3 weeks. And like every time we're on the couch just hanging out, he's like looking at videos of Jad. And we're like, Kyle's like, dude, we got to take that away from you. You're going to start crying. But I live with Jad, and I have three little nieces. So I've been around little kids quite a bit in the recent past. And I started thinking about, like, what if we didn't tell little kids what was wrong or right in their lives? How confusing would that be when you were grown up, okay? So think about this for a second. I live with little baby Jad. We have a fireplace in our house, in our living room. And I'm sure, we haven't gotten to that point yet, but I'm sure that in the winter we're going to flip it on. It's going to be nice and warm, nice and toasty. What if we didn't tell Jad that he wasn't allowed to touch it when it was turned on? What if we didn't, like, block it off? What's going to happen? Gary is not going to be very happy. Yeah, it will pretty much kill him. It will hurt him. He will get burned. And that's not what we want, right? We don't want Jad to get burned because he is perfect. And we like to have people over. So what if we left our front door open, for example. What if we left our front door open and Jad, I kid you not, Jad, he has this weird sense where he's like, door's open. I got to go in there. Like, my room is downstairs, and he's like, George's room's open. I got to get in there, touch everything, and break it. And what if we left our front door open? Jad would be gone before you could even, like, say the word, he would be gone. He'd be out of there. If we didn't shut the door and tell our kid, you can't go out and play in the street, you can't get hit by cars, you can't get into people's vans, that's going to be bad because he's going to be gone. Okay? And think about this actually did happen, okay? Sorry, Gary, I'm telling people this. But actually, you posted a picture online. But one day, I wasn't there, but they were sitting at, Gary, and his wife, Lindsay, they were sitting at the table, and apparently Jad climbed up and was standing on the table. Like, I don't know, they must have been in the zone. But Jad was just, like, standing on the table. And what if they were just like, oh, instead of being like, that's funny, let me take a picture on Instagram, they were like, no, like, we're not even going to pay attention to him. Jad, you can get down on your own. He's going to freaking fall off the table and hit his head. Like, that's not what we want. And so, parents, us that care about kids, we're making judgments for them. And we're saying, that's wrong. That's right. We're saying, you can't do this. This is wrong. You can do this. This is right. Because we love them. And so, the Bible gives us a lot of rules. It gives us a lot of different... Oh, I hate the word rules. I said that a couple weeks ago. I don't know why I just said that. The Bible gives us guidelines, okay? Like the Ten Commandments, for example. Do not murder. Don't steal. Don't lie. Those kind of stuff. That's all in the Bible. And the thing is that the Bible was written like thousands of years ago, a couple thousand years ago. And if you think about life a couple thousand years ago, I think it's going to look a lot different than what our life looks like today. Life looks like today. So, for example, they didn't have TV. They weren't watching SpongeBob. I wonder what the Jesus version of SpongeBob was, actually. It was like stone. Stone Bob. they didn't have TV. They didn't have radio. They didn't have cars. They didn't even have electricity. And it was a completely different time. And so there aren't specific verses in the Bible that apply to every single situation that you're going to go through in life, specifically. Like, they'll cover them. Like, it says, stay away from sexual immorality. Stay away from gossiping. But the thing is that there isn't a Bible. There isn't a Bible verse that specifically says, hey, dudes, when you're hanging out with your friends, they open their laptop up and they're looking at porn, don't look at that. There isn't a Bible verse that says that because there were no laptops back then. And ladies, there's actually a verse. It's in Ephesians 4:29. It says, don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. So they didn't have mini skirts in the Bible, okay? They didn't have those little short skirts. And so there is no Bible verse that says, hey, ladies, when you're at lunch, you see a girl wearing a miniskirt, don't gossip about her behind her back and call her a slut. Like, there is no verse in the Bible that's going to specifically say that. At Emerald Ridge High School at 10:30 a.m., you cannot do that. But there are verses like this in Ephesians that give us guidelines. And so God has given us the ability to judge and to say, this is wrong, this is right. Because honestly, we live in a completely different time than what was going on in the Bible, just all the technology that we have now. And but when it comes to, so that was judging right from wrong. When it comes to judging other people, it's a completely different story. Okay, I want to go back to Matthew chapter 7, and starting at verse 3 again. It says, and why worry about a speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own eye? How can you think of saying to a friend, let me help you get rid of that speck in your eye, when you can't see past the log that's in your own eye? Hypocrite, first get rid of the log in your own eye. Then you will see well enough to deal with the speck that's in your friend's eye. So first, I just want to say, I know we've talked about this before, but can you imagine opening up your Bible for the first time, reading those verses exactly as they are, and then picturing that in your head? You're like, oh no, what's going on? What's going on in my eye? Can you imagine? Like, seriously, that's weird. And so sometimes we have to look a little bit further than what it says right there on the surface. And so what it's all about when it comes to judging other people, it's how you judge other people. Because we have screwed that up in this world. We have screwed up how we're supposed to judge other people in this world. Now, I read this verse, and it says, why are you worrying about the speck that's in your friend's eye? Why are you worrying about their problems when you got some big problems of your own? And so I read that, and I'm like, wait, so what it's saying is, if I have problems, which I'm imperfect, I'm never going to be perfect, always have problems. So that means I can't worry about my friends. That means I can't judge. So there we go again. The answer is no, you can't judge. Then I'm reading this a little bit wrong, okay? When I read this, I read this as God wants me to not be hypocritical. He doesn't want me to look at my friend who's dealing with lying and say, you're a liar, when I'm dealing with lying myself. Because that's a big-time hypocritical move by me. But I have an instance in my life where I felt that God really told me, this is an okay circumstance for you to judge. So I'm going to tell you a story about one of my friends. He's a really cool guy. He has a ton of potential. Just really, really awesome dude. And one day he came to me, and it really surprised me. But he was pretty upset. I think he was pretty close to tears. He just said, hey, like, I've been dealing with smoking weed. And I was like, ooh. I was a little bit blown away, but at the same time, I was like, okay, this is something high schoolers deal with. And he said this to me. And the cool thing is, I had just finished reading this book. I think it was over a year ago. And I had just finished reading that book, and it really clicked. It got me, hit me in the face, and it was like, hey, God saying, Jordan, this is how I want you to deal with this situation. And so God gave me the ability in this situation to make a judgment here, to say, I'm not dealing with drugs. I wasn't. It's just not something that I've dealt with in my life. My friends haven't been around it. I've never tried it. And so it's just not something I've struggled with. And he says, Jordan, this isn't something you're struggling with. So why don't you help him? And so what did we do? It was really cool, the way that it developed. Because at first, it was kind of awkward. It was kind of like he would sometimes tell me, sometimes he wouldn't tell me. He would have to text me later because he was pretty upset that he knew he lied to me. But the thing is that eventually it got to the point of where I was able to firmly say, this is wrong. God doesn't want you to be intoxicated. He doesn't want you to be high. And this is something that we need to work on. And God said to me, the way I really saw it was that Christians should judge other Christians out of love. So that's going to be one of your phones. Christians should judge other Christians out of love. Think about it for a second. If I went up to this friend when he came to me, and I could have done three things. I could have laughed at him and said, dude, I'm not even going to waste my time on you. Like, that's stupid. Why? You're making bad choices. I'm not even going to bother with you. I could have done that. I could have called him a pothead and just labeled him in a certain group of people. And I could have gotten pissed at him. I could have been like, dude, what are you doing? Like, you've got it all. Like, you've got so much going for you. Why are you making this choice in your life? But God, he really hit me. Like, this wasn't me. He really hit me. And he was like, you don't need to do that with him. You need to love him. You need to say, this is wrong. This is something you shouldn't be doing. And you need to love him through that. And it's been really cool to see that friendship develop, just because we're very open with each other now. And I'm able to just straight up ask him, like, hey, dude, are you dealing with smoking weed? And we're able to talk about it. And I just think it's really cool that relationship has developed. But he's a Christian. He says he is a Christian. And when it comes to Christian judging people who are not Christians, it's a completely, completely different story. So the sad reality of churches, and I've been a part of it and I've experienced it, is that people walk in and they feel judged. And it happens. It's happened here at High Point. I guarantee you it's happened here. We're not perfect. It's happened at other churches I've been to. It's happened at churches I haven't been to. It just happens that people walk into a church, they see somebody they know. That person knew what they were doing on Friday night, and they see him whispering. And so they're like, oh, I feel so awkward right now. I don't even know what to do. Like, this is uncomfortable for me. I know that they're probably talking about me behind my back. I don't know what to do. That's a sad reality. It happens in our churches. Because Christians, we get so caught up in our rules. We get so caught up in, oh, this is wrong. This is right. You can't do this. You can't do that. That we just turn it into mega judgment. Like, it just turns into the bad kind of judgment, and we just judge the crap out of people. And it happened for me, but first I want to read you a verse, actually. And it's by this guy named Paul in the Bible. And he really just lays it out for us. In 1 Corinthians 5:12, it says, it isn't my responsibility to judge outsiders, but it certainly is your responsibility to judge those inside the church who are sinning. God will judge those on the outside, but as the scriptures say, you must remove the evil person from among you. So I want to say this, and I hope this sticks. You could write it down if you wanted to. If you're a Christian in the room, don't expect somebody who's not a Christian to live by your Christian standards. Don't expect somebody who's not a Christian to live by your Christian standards. So let me tell you a little story about my youth group when I was growing up. It was a really cool place, my church. I love my church. We had a lot of friends, a lot of family there. But the thing is that we were, the youth group, us, a specific group of us, we were pretty judgmental. And I didn't realize this until pretty far down the road. And so what would happen is we had a pretty good-sized youth group, and then some things happened, and it kind of faded. And so there's about 6 or 7 of us that were a core group in this youth group. And so what would happen is we wouldn't grow, like all through high school. We just wouldn't grow. Nobody would come, and if somebody came, they never came back. And I couldn't figure out why. I was like, oh, well, we're just, maybe they just didn't want to come. Maybe my singing was horrible, and they hated it. And so they just wouldn't come back. And I was singing this week. I was like, why didn't they come back? And I think one of the biggest reasons was that the people, us, that were in that youth group, we, without realizing it, were being so judgmental of people that were coming in. We weren't accepting. We weren't welcoming because we looked at all the dirt that these people had on them, and we were just like, you're not part of our friend group. Like, we must be perfect. And so they didn't want to come because they didn't feel welcome. And so there's really two things when it comes to Christians judging non-Christians. The first one is kind of what I said earlier, and it's Christians don't expect, or Christians shouldn't expect people who are not Christians to live by their Christian standards. And the second one really is along the same lines, and it's Christians don't force people who are not Christian to live by your Christian standards. And it sounds weird. It sounds really weird to say that. And you have to think about it for a second because you're like, wait, Jordan, are you telling me not to live by Christian standards? What's going on? But that's not what I'm saying. Christians, yes, live by Christian standards. But the thing that happens when Christians try to force somebody who is not a Christian to live by their standards is one, the first one, and it's, I don't really like saying it, but it's, you're just going to make a lot of nice people in hell. If that's what you believe as a Christian, then you're just going to make a lot of nice people because the way that you act, you can act by the Christian standards and live by them, but if you haven't had that relationship with God, then it means nothing. You can live by those standards, but it means nothing. And the second reason, it kind of goes off of what Steve said last week when it came to judging people, and it's, when was the last time somebody told you that you were wrong? That you did something was wrong, and somebody corrected you? They said you were wrong, and you were just like, dude, I love you so much, give me a hug. Like, you were so right, bro. Like, I can't believe that I was wrong. Never, right? Nobody ever does that. I don't even do that, and I'm basically perfect. So, yeah, I know. The thing about it is we hate being wrong. It's just a human, like, nature thing. We hate being wrong, and we hate people correcting us and telling us that we're wrong. But Christians in the room, think of your people, your poops. Think of your friends who aren't Christians. There may be some in this room right now. There may be some back at school. Think about them, and what if you started telling them that every little thing that they were doing, every time they swore, every time that you knew that they stole, what if you started just being like, you're wrong, you sinned, you're bad, what would they do? They would hate you. They would hate everything about you. So that means they'd start hating your church, and they would start hating God. Because that's just the way they would work. They'd look at you and say, all you're doing all the time is telling me that I'm wrong. You're just judging me all the time. But the thing is that God wants us to love every single person. If you're a Christian in this room, God doesn't want you to look at somebody who's not a Christian and say, you're wrong all the time. You need to get right with God or else you're going, uh-uh. Okay? That's not what God wants us to do at all. God wants us to say, I'm going to take you as you are. I'm going to love you where you're at, no matter how much dirt you have on you. And I've seen that happen so much here. You know, I know you guys have heard Maverick's story. He's in junior high right now. But, like, Maverick, he was doing all this stuff. And then his friend Cody, he just loved him. He just listened to him talk about what he was doing every weekend. He just listened and loved him. And eventually, I mean, now look where Maverick is. It's really cool to see that happen. And that's what God wants us to do, is he just wants us to love, not to judge. And so the last part of this verse that I want to look at, it's verse 2. And it says, for you will be treated as you treat others. The standard you use in judging is the standard by which you will be judged. So I want to say, judge how you would want to be judged. Think about that for a second. Judge how you would want a person to judge you. So like I said earlier, I was a cross-country runner in high school, going back to the good old glory days of running. And Emerald Ridge football, when I was in high school, no, not good. Okay, you guys are so much better now. Like, literally, you guys are so much better now than when I was in high school. I think they won 4 games in 3 years that I was in high school. It didn't go well. And so us cross-country runners, we had a really good team. Just bragging on myself for a second. We had a really good team in high school. And so we kind of thought we ran the school, you know, because when there's like a good football team, they're like the alpha males of the school. You know, they're like, what's up? We own everything here. Love you guys. And so we thought that was us, all like 5'10", 105 of us, like all seven of us. We're like, yeah, we got this, man. We're the rulers of this school. And so we walked around and we thought we could judge every single person. We thought we were so cool because we were good at running, which isn't really that cool, honestly. And so we thought we were so cool. And we would just judge everybody. So we started putting people in different like groups, different classes. So we had this one girl on our team, and I thought she was the weirdest person ever. Okay. So she tucked her shirt in and she wore her pants a little higher. Like not her pants, her running shorts, okay? And so we literally labeled her as an untouchable, like forever alone. That's literally what we said about this girl. I can't believe I did that, right? My sister's over here probably crying that I did that in high school. And we had a kid on our team. It gets better. We had a kid on our team. We called him Snake Eyes, okay? He was our friend, too. He was our friend. Okay. He wouldn't make eye contact with us. So he did this. The whole time. And we made fun of him. We said he was a creeper and that he was going to be like driving a white van around when he was older. Not kidding. Sorry, Abby. And we did all of this in high school because we thought we were so cool. And we judged people based on things that really didn't matter. Like, it doesn't matter what somebody's wearing. It doesn't matter that they do some creepy eye thing. It doesn't matter. I love him. Gosh. But I want you guys to ask yourself this question because I know that this is probably the biggest area of judgment that our age group, we deal with. And ask yourself actually two questions. The first one is, can that person help their life circumstances? Can they help the clothes that they get? Maybe they can't afford clothes. Can they help the body language they have? Maybe they've gone through something in their life that they've dealt with and that's caused them not to make eye contact with the person. All these different questions that we can ask ourselves, like, where are they at in their life? Like, am I making fun of them for something that they can't really help because it's their life? And then the second one is, are they just trying to fill some emptiness that's in their heart? You know, we spend a lot of time judging people that go to parties, judging people that are making bad choices, like my friend when he was smoking. Like, are they just trying to fill something? Are they lacking God? And I want you guys to ask yourself those questions because so often, myself, as you saw, and all of us, we make judgments just when we walk into school in the morning. We look at what somebody's wearing and we're just like, all right, you're weird. And we just walk away and we make those judgments. But and the thing is that the world, we've really messed up what the word judging means. You know, we automatically think of that when we think of judging. We think of, judging is looking at somebody and what they're wearing or what they're doing on their weekends and saying, you're bad, you're wrong. We say that's judging. And the world really has its handcuffed Christians. And it's saying you can't make judgments at all. Matthew 7, it says you can't judge a single person for anything at all. But the thing is that God gives us a time. He gives us a place where we can make those judgment calls. God wants us to help others and to love them. He doesn't want us to bring them down and tear them down. He wants us to love others and help them through judgments so that they can come to a closer relationship with him. And so for those of you in the room that call yourselves Christians today, I really, really want to challenge you to this because I think it's so important. Because you're representing God. You're not just representing yourself. You're not just representing High Point when you go out. You're representing God, the creator of the universe. It's kind of a big deal, okay? I want to challenge you. When you walk into the lunchroom, when you walk into the commons, when you walk to class, wherever you go, catch yourself before you. Actually, this is for everybody, not just those who are Christians in the room. This is for everybody. Catch yourself before you make a judgment about what somebody's wearing or what you heard about them in a rumor that you don't even know is true. Catch yourself and just ask yourself that simple question. What's going on in their life that's causing this? Is it an emptiness? Is it something they're looking for? Is it the life circumstances? Just ask yourself that. And then the second question to ask yourself is, how would I want to be treated if I was them? How would I feel if I knew that people were talking about my dorky outfit behind my back. I would be paranoid. I don't know about you guys. I would be so paranoid to go into public if I knew that people were talking about me like that behind my back. And so just think about that. Think about the circumstances that people are in and understand that God, he allows us to make judgments, but out of love. Okay? So if you guys want to pull out your comm cards,